Thank you. I have no disclosures. Okay. So for the next 15, 20 minutes, I plan to describe our experience with a hospital and faith-based partnership focusing on obesity and diabetes prevention, specifically with adapting a weight management healthy lifestyle program for a faith-based setting, and hope to describe the advantages of faith-based public health interventions. As background, adult and childhood obesity is particularly prevalent in low-income African-American communities. And among the 8 service planning areas within LA County, South Los Angeles has the largest percentage of African-American residents at 45%. In South LA, the obesity rate is almost 33% for adults and 29% for youth, compared to almost 24% for adults and 23% for youth in the whole of LA County. Not really a surprise when you think that there are very scarce options for nutrition and healthy food in South Los Angeles. The area has a disproportionately high number of fast food chains, liquor retail stores, and smaller convenience markets selling heavily processed non-perishable items than its wealthier neighbors. So why partner with the church? Faith-based institutions are ideal settings for wellness interventions. They offer a tremendous potential to change norms. They are centers for spiritual, psychological, and social support and communication. And the promotion of physical and or mental health is really a natural tie-in to spiritual health. For people who attend a faith-based church or synagogue or mosque, it's considered to be a trusted source of information. And there is access to a multi-generational population and a consistent population, offering multiple opportunities to introduce and to reintroduce and reinforce wellness messaging, whether it's from the pulpit or for a social engagement or community outreach. In 2013, the Diabetes and Obesity Program at Children's Hospital Los Angeles received a 2-year grant to pilot a faith-based initiative at New Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church to address the high prevalence of diabetes and obesity of children in South Los Angeles. New Mount Calvary is a very large urban church that's been around since the 1960s. It's got 3,000 active members. Our primary objectives were to work with the faith-based community to promote health education and improve health outcomes and increase access to care through family-centered, age-appropriate lifestyle interventions and build capacity to sustain those interventions over time. Also, we were planning on training primary care providers from South Los Angeles community to manage care of youth and adults with and at risk for diabetes, obesity, and other related illnesses. I'm specifically focusing on the first 2 bullets for this talk. So we wisely budgeted in a 6-month planning period. We knew that engendering trust among the congregation was going to be essential if we were going to put forward any kind of partnership together. And one of the first things we did was to hire staff for our initiative, including a project coordinator and a care manager, who were 2 women who were eminently qualified for those positions, but who also had deep-rooted relationships and connections with the church. So our project coordinator was a minister in her own right, Denisha Beaver, and was a right-hand woman to the pastor, and it has an MPH and an extensive research background. They, along with the pastor, were absolutely instrumental in bringing this initiative to the congregation, making it forefront and center, introducing us to the congregation, and making sure that people realized that this could be a win-win for everybody. And the pastor helped us hand-pick a community advisory board made up of 18 members of the congregation who either had professional expertise in health or wellness or a real passion to make their church healthier. And it was they who came up with our name for the initiative, the Healthy Environment and Active Living Initiative. And they informed all of our, the way we communicated, the way we approached, and the types of interventions that we did throughout the 2-year period. We knew that for the youth intervention that we were planning on bringing kids and fitness for the children. Kids and Fitness is an evidence-based, family-centered weight management program that was designed over 15 years ago at Children's Hospital Los Angeles to address the obesity epidemic. The program consists of interactive nutrition education for the entire family, physical activity. We use self-monitoring techniques and goal setting. And it's been adapted over the years to fit a variety of settings, after-school programs, community centers, clinics, parks. And we have the train-the-trainer program, where non-health professionals have successfully been able to implement the program. Children who participate in Kids in Fitness typically decrease their body mass index Z-score and their body fat percentage over time and improve knowledge and eating behaviors. And now over 1,200 children and families have participated over the years in a variety of adaptations. So we thought, well, we're going into a church, we've got our Kids in Fitness program, we'll probably do it in Sunday school, that's where the kids are. And we learned again in the 6-month planning period that wasn't going to fly, that really Sunday school is quite sacred, there's a curriculum involved, it's planned out in the future, and Sunday is a very busy day at church, that people would not be willing to either do it in Sunday school or to stay after, and that wasn't really an appropriate place for it. So our first round of Kids in Fitness was done at very similar to how we might do it in a clinical setting, where it was one evening a week, a 90-minute class for children and parents that was held for 6 weeks. And we did it at the church. And our primary adaptations to the program were that we hired and trained young adult congregants to be peer health educators and assist with the class. And each session opened with prayer, and we had a scripture that was appropriate to each nutrition topic that was added to our Kids and Fitness student workbook. And in our first cohort, we graduated 8 families from the program. We realized during this particular cohort, and as we started to recruit for the second cohort, that we were going to have problems recruiting families. As I mentioned, this church is multi-generational, and many of the people have since moved away from the very local community, so they're not necessarily walking to church. They're coming from very far. We've got Los Angeles traffic, and this is a really active, vibrant church. So there, we were competing with not only the church calendar for time and space, but a lot of these youth were already coming, in addition to Sunday school, coming 1 or 2 nights a week to do prayer dance, praise dancing, or choir, or ushering. It was going to be very difficult for families to come around 5 or 6 o'clock to do a class. So the pastor suggested, well, maybe you guys can think of some summer camp idea. She knew that many parents had expressed struggles with finding childcare and things for their children to do during the summer. And so that's exactly what we did. We mobilized our resources and we put together Camp Heal during the summer of 2014. And Camp Heal was a 2-week summer day camp for children ages 5 to 13, and we did 2 2-week sessions. Children were able to be dropped off as early as 7:30 in the morning and picked up at 6 so that parents could go to work. And it was heavily subsidized by the grant at $50 a week per child. We were able to provide a healthy breakfast and very healthy snacks provided throughout the day. And we knew we had to engage the parents. That's kind of the essential piece of the Kids in Fitness program. And we were able to do that by saying, look, we have this, you know, very affordable camp experience, but you do need to come to 3 meetings, an orientation meeting, another meeting at the end of the first week, and a graduation meeting. And during that time, they really received a crash course of all the content that the kids were receiving at camp, including strategies to support their child and to role model this behavior so that hopefully things that they were learning at camp could be extended. We had 36 campers go through Camp Heal. We engaged 14 church volunteers, and we had 11 staff members. So what was Camp Heal? It was like the Kids in Fitness curriculum, like on steroids, and then all of the other typical camp activities. So we had Bible study that was provided by the church staff. We had arts and crafts. We had cooking. We got to do gardening, hours of physical activity. And we also took this opportunity to expose these children to their local church community by taking them to the library and to their local park, as well as the greater Los Angeles community, like to a Dodger game and to a museum. But all of the games and activities that we did were imbued with healthy messaging, whether it was kind of subvert or overt. So Duck Duck Goose became, you know, celery, celery, brownie. Everything we did was health and messaging. And during camp, they were learning about label reading. They went to their local grocery store. They learned about real whole foods versus processed food. And in addition to games, there was discussion about how to be healthier. What does their community look like? Is it healthy? What are the barriers? And there were many opportunities to discuss the barriers and strategies towards being healthier. Here you see a big collage they did where they did all their red light junky foods with their green light healthy foods. You see them doing a skit where they're having different strategies for dining out and being healthier. the older kids ended up teaching the younger kids a lot, which is, I was a little bit nervous about having a 5-year-old with a 13-year-old, and that ended up being actually a really win-win because it really allowed the older kids to shine and provide leadership experience, and then you see them on a field trip to the Dodger game. So Camp Heal, we were thrilled with the results. Everybody was happy. The parents were happy. They had something for their children to do. They were taking them to church, this trusted place. They were getting both spiritual enrichment and this healthy messaging content. And parents were reporting how their kids were coming back and saying, "Mom, you know, I tried purple cauliflower today. I tried a Persian cucumber. Or, look, you know, you should be eating that. Did you read the label?" And they were really teaching their parents about healthy things and pressuring them to be healthier. The kids were really happy. They were having a lot of fun. There was a lot of games. Many of these kids might have just been at home with nothing to do. The church leadership was happy, not only from this wonderful initiative that we were doing together, but even from an evangelical perspective, there were a number of families who had come to camp who were not actively involved in the church, and as a result started going to church and becoming more involved in other areas. And we, as health professionals, were really thrilled because we had this captive audience to try to do all the things that we've always wanted to do, but you can never really do for like an hour and a half class. And either by role modeling what the counselors bought for lunch or having discussions or doing arts and crafts, we were really able to do it in many and very creative ways. They came up with a camp song that the choir director put to words. I wish I had more time to play it for you. But let's talk a bit about sustainability. We really felt like we had something, and this is something that we would, you know, replicate forever. And in fact, we took a lot of what we learned from Camp Heal and collaborated this past year with UCLA's Unicamp, which for the first time put together a sleepaway camp specifically for healthy lifestyle. But as we went into the 2014-2015 school year and started thinking about camp, we knew that our grant was going to be ending the summer of 2015. And the pastor kind of wisely felt, well, even if we had enough resources to do this one more time, if this is the point where the church is supposed to take on more, it was not realistic to implement camp in that way, both for the cost, it was heavily subsidized by the grant, and to find church staff members who could drop everything and be there, 10 hours a day taking care of the kids for 1 month, that was not going to be realistic if they didn't rely heavily on other resources. So at this point, though, I just want to kind of backtrack and say that this was just one of the many interventions that was going on over the 2 years, and I think that's important to put into perspective because there was a lot of other relationships and trust building and exciting things happening. For the adults, there had been Faith and Fitness Saturdays that was starting where the adults were getting together to exercise. They had partnered with the African American Diabetes Association, and we provide nutritional content for them. Healthier snacks were now being served at events. There was infused waters, and even though occasionally there was still the more traditional food, there was now healthy options. We were targeting the teens specifically through 4 teen wellness retreats that we offered throughout the year and a half, where we took them out, did something physically with them, and engaged them again about conversations about health and wellness. We provided a health needs assessment for the congregation early on where they answered questions about 4 domains of health and their relationship with health and spirituality. And we used this to inform many of the interventions that took place during the two years. And in fact, there was a poster on this called Beyond the Pew that was presented at this conference about the results of the assessment. We implemented 3 large-scale health screenings and wellness fairs. There was a Daniel fast that the church put on, which is a biblical vegan, it's a spiritual fast that has a vegan diet. And we brought in our expertise with the CHLA dietitians to inform families how they could participate in this and do it in a healthful way. There were holiday fitness challenges and food challenges and wellness Sundays where they talked about health and did screenings. CHLA did partner with Federally Qualified Health Center St. John's to provide training and support to improve management of childhood obesity. And so this is all to say that as this was happening and we had a real presence, and now when I say we, I'm not talking CHLA, I'm talking Project Heal, true partnership. Well, we got the green light in January 2015 to bring Kids and Fitness into Sunday, which is where we kind of had some resistance early on. And we were able to come into Children's Church and give these little spurts of Kids and Fitness. And again, Kids and Fitness is my my abbreviation for nutritional healthy messaging content. And during the nutrition period of Children's Church and Kingdom Kids, which is a summer programming, we had anywhere between 15, 20 minutes to give a quick little lesson and then do physical activity. And the church staff were engaged and began to take it on, and parents and teens were assisting. We supplemented last summer with field trips to a healthy farm, the New Mount Calvary bought a community garden plot, and the kids got to go visit, and the congregation was getting more involved. So for lifestyle intervention results, we served 80 children, 45 teens, and 100 adults in the various interventions that we did. And now that the grant has ended in September, the new Mount Calvary leadership is committed to institutionalizing Project HEAL. The advisory board has become an official health and wellness ministry. The faith and fitness program has expanded, now offering weekly Zumba classes for the adults. Children's church leaders are carving out more time for physical activity and offering healthier snacks and bringing nutrition-related messages to children. I just heard that now every fourth Sunday is designated as Wellness Sunday, and the Community Advisory Ministry presents health messages during that time. And the CHLA HEAL staff has created a toolkit for these short nutrition lessons for use with children in faith-based settings. So lessons learned. A strong pastoral commitment was absolutely essential in creating the buy-in and the trust and getting everybody excited and on board. Likewise, the active engagement of the church leadership in creating these program initiatives was essential. Certainly, flexibility and contingency planning was really important to adapt to any unanticipated barriers to the implementation. And finally, and probably foremost, designing the programs to be integrated into the existing church structures was really important, and yet you needed to have that trust and that relationship building so that you could get to that point. But it was absolutely important for sustainability. I'd like to acknowledge the Diabetes and Obesity Program of CHLA, the Reverend Sonja Dawson, who has come all the way to be here, the New Mount Calvary Project HEAL Community Advisory Board, now Health Ministry, as well as the California Community Foundation for funding this pilot. And here's our project team. Thank you.